Now we want you to bow with us for a word of prayer, if it is at all possible for you to do so. We thank you again, our Father, for the privilege of knowing Thee. We thank you for the hope that you've given us, a hope that you're going to come after us in the air, and it won't be very long, this taking place. And we bow before you to give you the glory and the honor and the praise, because it's all of Thee and it's all of grace. And we thank you also for the privilege not only of knowing Thee, but also, Lord, of being able to broadcast Thy truth by the means of radio. Oh, we ask you again, unctionize this endeavor. Cause many, many hearts to tune in and listen like they've never listened before. And then, Lord, do whatever has to be done with regard to these individuals. Some of them, Lord, or perhaps may be backslidden. They need to be brought back to Thee. Others, perhaps, have never come down the road of repentance. And, Lord, they need to come down that road of repentance and faith in order to come to know Thee. But we ask you above everything else, get glory to Thyself in all that's said and done in this endeavor. Thank you again for supplying all our need. And we commit this broadcast unto Thee, asking you, Lord, get glory and honor through it all. We pray now, Lord Jesus, for Thy sake. Amen. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan. We'd like to hear from you, and if the broadcast is a blessing to your heart, we certainly would like to know. If it's not, we'd like to know that also, because we strive to make the broadcast better broadcast every time. So the only way we can is for you to drop us a letter or a card. It's the only way we're going to find out if we're a blessing to you or maybe we're not. But we want you to write us if you will. Our text today is found in Esther chapter 1. And I want you to follow with me if it's possible to do so. Esther chapter 1, and I'm going to begin reading, if you will, at verse 7. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold and the vessels of being diverse one from another, and royal wine in abundance according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compel, for so had the king appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Birsa, and Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zether, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, and to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. But the queen Esther refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned within him. Today we're going to look for a moment or two in the book of Esther at the decree of the king. Last time we pointed out a little bit about the providence of God. And remember very clearly, the providence of God is in action all the time. We find the providence of God is to be seen in nature, in the events of human history, as well as in the individual life, as also in so-called fortunate events. And then we find the providence of God carries out the purpose of God regardless of what man may think, desire, or do. You see, God is a sovereign God, and God has decreed that these things will come to pass. And with regard to the book of Esther, today we're going to look at the decree of the king. And we find, first of all, the providence of God set forth, as we mentioned it a moment or two. Now, I want you to notice something, if you will. As I mentioned before, the providence of God is also very applicable in the events of human history. Beloved, in World War II, when Japan attacked Pearl Harbor, they were able to come and conquer the entire Hawaiian Islands if they chose to do so. But what happened? The admiral in charge, Admiral Yamamoto, who was later shot down, he waited 3 days before he turned, then he turned his ships back towards Japan. And he made the statement, he says, "I'm afraid we have awakened a sleeping giant, and the result is going to be something to indeed." And how true it was. Now, why do I tell you this? It was the providence of God that kept him from coming to conquer the Hawaiian Islands, and they could have come to the West Coast if they would wanted to, because at that time we were absolutely without a navy in the Pacific, with the exception of 3 aircraft carriers. Now, why do I tell you this? Because the providence of God is a reality, and we need to understand that. And now for a moment or two, I want you to notice with me the providence of God in action. What did happen? We find the providence of God caused Vashti the queen to refuse to come to the king's banquet. Now, a lot of people have the idea that when Vashti was to come to the king, she was to come there naked or something like that. But it doesn't say that. We find the king commanded to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. In other words, she was going to come in her best clothes with a crown on her head, and he was going to show the people what a wonderful queen he had and what a good-looking gal he had. But at the same time, what happened? She refused to come. And are you listening? That was also part of the providence of God. We find in the providence of God in action, what did he do? It caused the king to do to what? To dispose Vashti the queen. Because verse 13 we read, "Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew the new law and judgment. And next unto him was Karshena, Shether, Adma, Tarshish, Meres, Marcena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face and sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto Queen Vashti according to law? Because she had not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains." Then Memucan answered before the king and the princes, "Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the province of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen which shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported, the king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not." Now what do you have here? Here we find the command of the king. And what did he do? He decreed that Vashti was no longer to be the queen. Now why? Because in God's purpose, follow me now, in God's purpose, it was predestinated by the Lord God of heaven that Esther was to become the queen of the empire of Medo-Persia. Now, someone might say, well, now, just a minute, you're so dogmatic about it. Well, we find what happened. Notice, if you will, the rest of the chapter has to do with the king removing Vashti and then deciding that he was going to find another queen. It's the providence of God all through this portion of the Word of God. Not only did the providence of God bring Esther the queen in the presence of the king, but we find also the providence of God caused the king to have a special love for Esther and to make her his queen. In Esther chapter 2, verse 15, we find the Word of God says these words. "Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Hegai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Esther was taken unto the king Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign." Now listen to these words. "And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." Now, beloved, this is the reality of the providence of God. Now, the providence of God has done the same thing for you and me, if you understand what the Word of God is all about. So take your Bibles and go back with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 2, and we find here the prayer of Hannah, and I want you to notice what a wonderful prayer it was. In 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8, we find these words. Listen to it. "He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them." Now let me stop right here. Do you know what I'm talking about? My friend, when the Lord God of heaven dealt with you, if he ever did, he caused you to stand before him poor in spirit. He caused you also to stand before him hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And you know what? He caused you also to become absolute sinner in the eyes of God, wondering if the Lord God of heaven would ever save you. But to your amazement, he's done so. And I'll tell you right now, he not only saved us, how wonderful it is, he keeps us all the time. For this is the position of the individual when God reaches down and saves them. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust." That's where we were. We belonged in the dust of the earth. And then notice, "and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. That's what we were at one time before we got converted. And then what did he do? He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Oh, my friend, today, here you have an example. Hannah praying unto the Lord, and we find it's an example of God's providence. God's providence did what? He removed Vashti from being queen of Medo-Persia. Then he also had Esther brought into his area where she could be examined, and we find he created a love for Esther, and he made her queen. And we find in verse 17, and the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. And my friend, are you listening to it? I'll tell you right now, not only did he create a love for Esther, but we find also in Esther chapter 7, what did the king do? This portion of the Word of God, we find Esther chapter 7, he came to the queen's defense because Esther was under condemnation that was brought about by Haman. And we find, listen carefully, what she said. Esther chapter 7, then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he, that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And I'll tell you right now, he came to her defense, and I'll tell you again, he removed Haman from being the chief prince in the kingdom because of the fact what he had done with regard to Esther. Then we find also, not only do we see the providence of God in this first chapter, but we also see the gospel feast of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice that the feast was instituted by the king himself. Esther chapter 1, look if you will in verse 3. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. When he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 144 days. Now what do you have here, all right? The gospel feast of the Lord God of heaven is portrayed here in the book of Esther. We find it was instituted by the king himself. Then secondly, the invitation was given to many. Now notice if you will, in verse 3, he made a feast unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and the provinces, the princes of the provinces being before him. Then we find again, I want you to notice also what happened. When those days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace, both the great and small, 7 days in the court of the king's, of the garden of the king's palace. Now what do you have here? If you have any spiritual eyesight, my friend, you'll have here a picture of the invitation that God gives to a sinner at this present hour. You see, the gospel feast is instituted by the Lord himself and is portrayed here in the book of Esther. And when we find the invitation was given to many. Find in verse 5, both unto the great and the small. And are you listening? The feast and the invitation lasted exactly 7 days. It was a grace extended by the force of the king, because I want you to notice, there was no force given to them, because in verse 7 and 8, and they gave them drink in vessels of gold, and we find, and the drinking was according to the law, none did compel, for so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house that they should do according to every man's pleasure. Now what do you have here? All right, are you listening? You have a portrait of the gospel feast of the Lord Jesus Christ, instituted by the king himself. The invitation is given to many. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever thirsteth, let him take of the water of life freely. And my friend, How wonderful it is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You've been invited to a feast, my friend, and I'll tell you right now, my hope and prayer is that you'll recognize it and that you'll respond unto the invitation of the Lord God of heaven. Then I want you to notice, it was an invitation given to many. It was given to the great and the small, and the same thing is true at this present hour. And then the grace was extended by the host. There's no force. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? God doesn't force you to believe. The Lord God of heaven makes you willing to believe. Now people today seem to forget one thing. Man without God is a dead sinner. A dead sinner cannot hear. A dead sinner cannot understand. A dead sinner cannot respond. And therefore, a dead sinner can only remain in a deadened condition. And the book of Ephesians brings it out. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. But in the gospel feast, what happens? The instituted by the king, the invitation is given to many, and I'll tell you something else. It's all by grace, no force. But I want you to notice one more thing, if you will. There was an insult when it was refused, and that's exactly what is happening at this present hour. If the Lord God of heaven is dealing with your heart whatsoever, my friend, I want to tell you something. You better not rebel. You better not continue in your rebellion. Instead, you better surrender lock, stock, and barrel unto the Lord God of heaven. Because when you continue to rebel, rest assured of one thing. There will be an insult to the king. And that's what happened with Queen Esther and King Ahasuerus. She insulted the king. She refused to come to his feast. He wanted to show his people what a beautiful woman she was and what a glorious wife he had. And instead, she refused to come to the king's invitation. She refused to come to the feast that the king had instituted. And are you listening? People are doing the same thing at this present hour with regard to the gospel feast of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord just says, come, for all things are now ready. And you'll read that there's one consent. They made excuse. One said, I have married a wife. I can't come. Another one said, I bought a yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. Another one said, I bought some land, and I want to see what it looked like. And are you listening? They were nothing but lies, because they remained in the rebellion. And the result was this. The king was insulted when Esther refused to come. And are you listening? The Lord Jesus Christ is insulted also when you refuse to listen to him. Not only that, the worst thing that a man can do is call the Lord Jesus Christ a liar. But you know, that's exactly what happens when an individual does not respond to the Lord God of heaven. Listen again to what it says. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. My friend, I want to ask you a question. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ at this hour? Has God ever stopped by your heart's door, opened your understanding, and caused you under to recognize that you stood before a sovereign God who could save you or damn you, and you were already condemned? And my friend, you stood before a sovereign God without hope. And I'll tell you right now, you stood before a sovereign God at his disposal, and yet people today had the audacity to say, I'm not going to do it, I don't want it. And yet we find when that happens, what takes place? The king is insulted. The same thing happened right here to King Ahasuerus. He was very angry because of the fact that she refused to come to his feast. In other words, she was making him a laughing stock, so to speak, and mocking him. And that's exactly what individuals are doing today when they tell you point blank, I don't need the Lord Jesus Christ. But my friend, every individual needs the Lord above everything else. All my time is about gone, and I want to ask you a question. Has the Lord God of heaven ever stopped you, my friend, in your tracks? Turned you around from your faces towards hell and your back was towards heaven, and the Lord God of heaven stopped you in your tracks? Turned you around, made you recognize who you were and what you were and the judgment you're under, and at the same time he put a cry in your heart, save me or I perish. Oh, listen, it's the greatest thing that can take place, if it ever does. And if it doesn't, my friend, rest assured of one thing. You'll be insulting the Lord God of heaven. Your responsibility right now is to surrender unto him and sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you're the sinner. Until we meet again, this is Pastor North here saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.